Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Ruth from Greenwich Village, and you're listening to Soundcheck from WNYC.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Listening to the music of the Massachusetts-based group called Gem Club is a bit like looking at a cut gem. It has a unique internal order, and it can be very glittery. Gem Club's newest record is called In Roses, and the band is here in the studio to play a few songs from it for us, but they're actually going to start us off with a song from their previous album, 2011's Breakers. Here is Gem Club with a song called Twins, live on Soundcheck.
Before I can learn whose twin I was.
That is the band Gem Club, live here in our Soundcheck studio with a song called Twins, which you'll find on their 2011 album Breakers. The band's most recent album is called In Roses. And let me introduce you to the members of Gem Club, the singer and songwriter Christopher Barnes at our piano. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, how are you?
With Kristen Drymala playing the cello and Yeva Berberian playing keyboards. There's no percussionist there, and yet both you and Kristen found ways to make percussive sounds during that piece.
Yeah.
Kristen rapping on the body of the cello at one point, yeah. And you almost using the foot pedals as a kind of percussive sound.
I have a heavy foot on the damper, and I think that we use a lot of synths on stage to replicate the piano, but one of the things that I love about being able to play a real piano is that you can get sort of that cannon-type boom with a foot pedal. At school, I got criticized for that a lot.
Yeah, that's not the technique they teach at conservatory, is it?
No. People are not a fan of that.
So that piece, Twins, has been choreographed a couple of times. You posted a couple of... Were you surprised?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's beautiful to see people sort of take the work and use it in their own medium. I think it's totally touching. And they sort of popped up on YouTube. And I think one person actually posted it to the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. So... And at least one of the two videos, which you've now posted on your website, is kind of a very slow, stylized form of hip-hop choreography.
Yeah.
Which, might not be the first place you go when listening to Gem Club.
Yeah, I know nothing really about dance, I think. I mean, that's probably something I should look into just out of, sheer curiosity. But, I mean, I was pretty, I think it was two very... different universes coming together in a really interesting way.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of your music, even on the new record, that song being from the previous one, it does inhabit a kind of stately and very, at times, very somber. People say it's very sad or melancholy, and that certainly is the case with some of the pieces. Do you ever feel the need to have a little Richard moment? Get your foot up on the keyboard and that kind of stuff?
My dad was always like, can you play? When I was a kid, he would say, he'd show me Jerry Lee Lewis. He's like, can you do that? No, Dad, I can't do that. I think I've always felt extremely uncomfortable playing like that.
Well, now, the other thing about this new record is it is, for the most part, a collection of songs, but not exclusively. There are several instrumental tracks. Mm-hmm. And even within the songs, there are a couple that have long instrumental passages. Mm-hmm. It's known that our brain responds differently to music when there's a voice or when there isn't.
Sure.
Do you write differently?
Do I write differently?
If you know the piece is going to be instrumental or vocal.
No. I think that the instrumental pieces came... I think sometimes I know when a piece needs to be wordless and when a piece, when the words fit. I think songs tell you a lot. In what they want. I think that's something they do very well. The instrumental pieces, we use them to sort of flank the sides of the record. So from the first side, we sequenced it so that from Nowhere to QY2 was sort of our quote-unquote lighter material. And then from QY2 to Poly was the heavier material. And it also forces people, we knew we were going to press it on vinyl. At the time, we didn't know that it was actually going to be two records. But in theory, I liked the idea of having one side and so that you'd have to physically get up and turn the thing over. So you'd start with an instrumental, and then the record would finish, and you'd get up and you'd turn it over, and then you'd have another instrumental, and it would finish that way. That was
the conception was that this was going to be an LP.
It never starts out that way. It ends up like that. I think that in the writing process, the last thing I want to think about is sequencing a number of songs because it makes me panic stricken. So I think that you set out to do, you just set out to create as much as possible. And then through that, you start editing and you start arranging. And I feel like themes come in. But those first two songs, you never know.
Well, it's almost...
or at least for a while was threatening to be a lost art, the art of sequencing an album, because back in the day of the LP, you know, you had to think really long and hard about what your first track was going to be, your third track on side one, what was going to lead, what was going to be your finale.
Yeah.
And this album, I mean, I wasn't aware that you had structured the, you know, because I listened to a series of 12 digital files.
Right.
And yet, there was definitely a sequence, a very strong sense of sequence. By the end of the album, you're just like, oh, my God. You know, it's like being punched in the gut, but softly.
Softly, gently. A gentle disturbance.
A gentle disturbance in the force.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, those are some of my favorite records, you know, growing up. I think song order is extremely important, and I think that with digital... I don't know. And it's also like the shortening of attention spans, and I'm not sure that it's being thought of as much.
What were some of your, I mean, those go-to records for you? What
for
were
me,
they?
Well, I grew up in the 90s, so a lot of that music was intensely emotionally driven music. My favorite were PJ Harvey, Tori Amos, Bjork, like intensely emotional, personal-driven, you know, songwriters.
Often scary in the case of P.J. Harvey.
I think brave, you know, I think very brave.
All right. Well, the latest album by Gem Club is called In Roses. It is out now, and it's about time we heard something from it. You want to do Hypericum for us? What is Hypericum?
It's a little yellow flower. It's also known as St. John's wort.
St. John's wort, which people take for memory or depression or stuff like that.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's send you back to the Steinway there.
Yes.
Christopher Barnes making his way back to the piano with, once again, Kristen Drymala on cello and Yeva Berberian playing the electric keyboard. Here in the Soundcheck studio, the band is Gem Club. The song is called Hypericum.
Tonight,
Once again, the band is Gem Club from Somerville, Massachusetts, but playing live here in our New York studio on Soundcheck, and a song called Hypericum, which you will find on the most recent Gem Club release called In Roses. And Christopher Barnes, once again, at our piano. Yeva Berberian adding some backing vocals there, and Kristen Dramala playing the cello, of course. So you've got the two keyboards going. It can build up to a very lush kind of tapestry of sound if you wanted.
Yeah.
But you tend to keep things kind of spare and on a more intimate scale, it seems.
We knew you had a piano here. We've been doing a version out at when we perform sort of around town with drum machines and making it a little bit...
The dance remix?
Kind of, really? A little bit. The drums on the record are real subtle, and we've been looking for a way to sort of fill it out on stage. But we knew that there was a piano here, so we wanted to do a different version.
Okay. Having called the song Hypericum, you know, which is another name for St. John's wort, which people use as an antidepressant, is this your own kind of sly comment on people saying that your songs are sad and depressing?
No, this, I sometimes just images crop up, and I tend to write around the images, and this was sort of very image-heavy for me with colors. And there's a song on the EP that's called Flax. A lot of the songs, I think, have, like, relationships to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And flax is also has like, most people think about it ingesting, but like it has a flower, you know, it's purple, it's a purple blue color. It's very nice. So I thought about, you know, sort of a sister relationships between themes in the songs and the flowers, and it's just.
And colors? I mean, do you have synesthesia?
No,
you see color?
No, I just, songs just start sometimes with, you know, memories or pictures or scenes, and then you're trying to sort of translate that visual image into a sonic image.
Mm-hmm. So here in the studio today, it's, you know, there's no drum machines. You've got the piano.
Yeah.
Left to other people's devices out on the road where you don't necessarily have a Steinway in every room. The songs, they evolve over the course of a tour?
Yeah, I think that they've been growing, you know, and it's nice to be able to be patient where you can be patient. Sometimes you have to read a room, you know, and know that doing a 12-minute version of First Weeks is not what people are into at the moment. But when people, you know, when people...
Well, now this sort of goes back to what we were talking about before. You know, you sequenced this record as if it were an old-fashioned LP with mm-hmm. two different sides, and you talked about, you know, the digital age and shorter attention spans. The danger you walk, the tightrope you walk in doing that is that no one's going to get to the gut punch at the end because,
right.
you know, you haven't hit them with it at the start.
Sure, sure.
So, that's part of the calculus of how you're going to do this.
Right. And I think that we're trying to create in a live situation, so almost a new record where we're, you know, making a blend of, you know, taking the old tracks and from the first record and the new record and then sort of sequencing them in a way where it is an event. So you can reach, you know, or you're in the middle and you're panicking and you realize it's not working and you scratch a few
right.
and you say, thank you, good night.
Gem Club is performing for us here on Soundcheck today. Now, Christopher, we have been doing this series that we call How to Be Smarter
mm-hmm.
about various things in music. And we've had people suggest, you know, things like, I want to be smarter about Jay-Z. I want to know more about the Riot Girl movement, et cetera. Uh-huh. What would you, is there a corner of the music world you feel is like a blind spot for you?
I want to know more about New Age music.
Why?
I want to know more about...
Okay,
because I'm totally... Someone was sending me all of these articles about Enya and her recording techniques, right?
Right.
And my dad loves that music, right? And I think as an artist, part of the production is totally fascinating and the talent is totally fascinating. But then you think about it like, well, it's New Age. And that's what I heard when I was growing up. And I'm like, is New Age a legitimate... I mean, I know it's a legitimate genre, but like Enya is the first thing that I think of when I think of New Age. So if someone that is out there that has like really cool New Age records, which I'm sure they totally exist, I just email us.
Can I tell you something? Enya, with the production techniques where there's like 100 layers
yeah,
of her voice,
yeah.
I asked her once, how do you know when enough is enough.
Yeah.
When you have layer 99, do you know that you just got to have layer 100 there?
What did she say?
She said, I leave that to Roma, who is her producer, Roma Ryan. But, you know, she's from a family of, like, serious traditional Irish folk musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where she's coming from. But, yeah, you're right. She definitely got kind of lumped into and then sort of ascended to the summit of the whole New Age thing back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So
your
parents are Enya fans too?
I'm an Enya fan. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I think she's the one person that over the years we've had here in the studio who I actually had autograph a record I could bring it back home to my mom.
I don't think I would know what to say to her. I just step back. It's Enya.
It's Christopher Barnes and Gem Club here on Soundcheck, playing for us here in the studio. And Christopher, this has been a lot of fun.
Thanks. I've had a blast.
You got a song to play us out with?
I do.
What's it called?
It's called Marathon.
All right. And then this actually is getting towards the end of the record.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. We'll send you back to the piano. Christopher Barnes, along with Kristen Drymala and Yeva Berberian, the three of them performing as Gem Club here in the Soundcheck studio. The most recent album is called In Roses, and you'll find this song on it. It's a live performance of Marathon.
Without your eyes, the teeth in your skull, they tear me apart. Can't rest. press my hand. It seems a love song.
By the way, we shot video of today's session. Find it at soundcheck.org. And if you subscribe to WNYC's YouTube channel, we'll update you every time we post new videos. That does it for this installment of the Soundcheck podcast. Thanks for listening.